Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, home of the Aspire program and its multifaceted approach to career preparation. The new program is designed to cultivate leadership and entrepreneurial skills while empowering each Carthage student to shape a custom career development plan from their first days on campus. Learn more about the Aspire program at carthage.edu/aspire. We welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Very happy to be sitting opposite Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, for the first time in 2020. Happy New Year, sir.
Thank you, my friend. 2020 already. That seems really strange, doesn't it? I can remember when I first started here as president and we started the radio shows that we have. No, I counted up 174 different radio shows that we've done.
Wow.
So, well, I'll try to project when the 200th anniversary one will be, Greg. We'll do a special show.
Yeah,
okay.
I got to bake a cake that day. Very good. Very good. And speaking of strange, not only is it strange to already be in this new year, but strange to be thinking about the spring semester with this cold weather that Mother Nature's throwing at us, but it is the spring semester about to start.
Isn't it amazing? Every year the time goes faster, and I know that people tell you that, but I think until you're kind of right in the middle of it, you don't often recognize it. But yes, you're right. Spring semester is actually up and running, so we've got students back on campus. We're very proud of the work that they continue to do, and in December we completed, many of our students go through December graduation, so we did our graduate audit on all of that and had 1,424 students complete their training and degrees at Gateway, whether it's a certificate, a one-year program, or a two-year program, which was the highest number of graduates we've had since 2007.
Wow.
So we're really proud of our students for continuing to find opportunities to increase their pathways of success through Gateway. But those graduation completion rates are really important. And now that spring semester has started, we're already gearing up for our May graduation ceremony, which I'm sure you know will be here before you know it.
Absolutely. Time flies when you're having fun. I know that you are anxious to acknowledge a new partnership that Gateway has, which is in conjunction with this much-discussed Adult Promise program.
Absolutely. In fact, later this morning, as this show is aired, we'll be introducing our partnership with Haribo Corporation to our Board of Trustees. Hmm. We are very proud of all of our great corporate partners, but Haribo is pretty special, as I'm sure everyone recognizes. It's the gummy bear company, if you're not aware of that. But I was fortunate a year ago to go on a trip with the Kenosha Area Business Alliance and actually go visit their facility in Germany. So I've had a chance to see their production facility and the quality of service they provide, the types of training needs that they have. And as they continue to build out their new North American distribution and manufacturing facility in Pleasant Prairie, we're really proud that Gateway's a part of that process. So we had a tour about a month ago to take a look at what resources are currently available, and we will continue to work with Haribo on developing training partnership strategies so that we have a workforce ready to deliver upon that candy when it's time to be made here. But really excited, and I want to thank everyone from Haribo and, of course, throughout Kenosha County for their support.
Fantastic. Very good. And I know you have just been away on yet another trip, not exactly a pleasure trip, but it sounds like it was pretty exciting, the National Career Development Summit. Where was that and what was that?
Yeah, this was held in Washington, D.C. So this is the second summit they've had. They hold them every other year, and it's around workforce development strategies and expanded career awareness. So trying to help young people make better decisions about career paths. So aligning skilled worker shortages, talent needs, industry expectations with educational programming. This year, I was able to bring along Sharon Wendt from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, and Sharon was on a panel and spoke about the work that the department is doing in developing the academic and career plans, so helping young people make those informed decisions as early as middle school. That was really exciting, and just she always does a great job of helping us better understand and appreciate the role that not only colleges can play, but that families and parents can play, and teachers, and helping make that decision. So the National Career Development Summit is a partnership with the U.S. Chamber Organization, the National Manufacturers Association, and I was involved from the beginning in my partnerships with the Manufacturing Skill Standards Council. So it's really great to bring all of those elements together and to be able to share and showcase some of the unique aspects of the work that we do here. One of the really inspiring things that we did at this event also is connected with four-year universities. So John Swallow, president of our Carthage, attended, and John spoke again on behalf of our region and the work that they're doing with the Aspire initiative over at Carthage and having, whether it's middle school students through DPI, two-year programs here at Gateway, or four-year programs, everyone can use and benefit from broader awareness around career development. So it was a great event.
Great. Glad to hear it. And we have a really interesting topic today and a very interesting guest to help us explore it. And we're going to be talking about kind of the concept of smart cities and the way in which Racine is acting on that concept in a really exciting way. So tell our listeners about our guest that joins us
today. Yeah, absolutely. So, well, we may remember that our Racine was designated a smart city several months ago, and William will share a little bit more about that. But prior to all of that work, I actually met William when he worked in Madison at the Department of Workforce Development. He was our champion and helped us better understand the role that Gateway could play in working with DWD, the Department of Workforce Development, our local providers, the city and the county, in developing fast-forward training programs to bring resources to our community to help not only address the skilled worker shortage, but engage in city development. So I was really proud when he joined the mayor's team, Mayor Corey Mason, in Racine, because his wealth of experience and how those systems work in Madison and how we can continue to leverage our partnerships with either DWD or now expanding into smart cities is adding great value to the work that we do here at Gateway. So he's been a strong advocate, a great champion, and just so proud that he chose to move his career path to Racine.
Right. So very good. So William Martin bears the title of Chief Innovation Officer for the city of Racine. And we're excited to hear about that, about what that intriguing title entails and how it folds into this concept of the smart city. But anyway, first of all, we welcome you to the morning show. Thanks for making the trip.
Thank you so much.
Good to have you here. Ahead of us finding out about this position you have with the city of Racine, tell us a little bit about where you come from originally and a little bit about your sort of personal and professional path that ultimately takes you to where you are today.
Wow. Well, I was born in the foothills of the Smokies, but I got here, I got to Wisconsin by way of Israel. So this has been sort of my life's path of just sort of taking advantage of opportunity. And so someone encouraged me along the way to apply for being an international exchange student. Mm. I asked for Italy. I got Israel. Ended up spending a year learning Hebrew, taking all my classes in various languages, and then just really enjoying hearing so much and so many different cultures and different people. And that really opened my eyes to just how large the world can be. And then coming home, I got an invitation from Beloit College. And so education is what really brought me to Wisconsin, and really enjoyed doing that. And from that piece, got excited, started working with the city of Beloit, with its city manager and city council, and did some work with Governor Thompson as he would come and visit. And eventually they asked me to come and join his team, and that opened up yet more doors to work all over the state. And so that's the beginnings of my career, and it's always been one new thing. And
that's fascinating. I guess I did not realize that you were an international exchange student and the connection to Beloit College.
Yeah.
And you know, you may be aware that Gateway has a pretty extensive international program, and we host a lot of students on campus, and then our students also have a chance to travel and experience. And I think those experiences really help to round out your vision of the world and what role you can play, right, in no matter what community you end up living in.
It opens the box. I think for me, you know, growing up in Tennessee, which is a wonderful place, but you sort of start with a vision of what the world is based on, of course, what you see. Someone was saying to me there's an adage that it takes a very smart fish to recognize the water. And so when you start to get outside that pond and begin to look at so many other aspects of life, it opens up so many more possibilities than you ever thought existed. And so because, you know, taking a chance and, you know, going across the world, that opened me up to literally 20 years later, going back and working with the Israeli government, the Dutch government, the British government. I've done work in probably a half a dozen European countries, and gone back to the Middle East and done work there as well.
That's fantastic.
And that was also tied to the work with Wisconsin. So working for Governor Thompson and then taking a lot of those lessons and helping other communities do public-private partnerships, and so
fantastic. Yeah, and I'm always intrigued. Beloit College does this survey every year. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's like for the graduating senior, what is now a part of their life that was not a part of our life, right? So the expectation is that someone 18 years old today never lived before there were cell phones and Wi-Fi and stuff, right? So it puts it all in context. So that,
I stopped listening to those lists altogether.
Yeah, because it makes you feel old.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
Well, by the way, what did you study at Beloit College?
So I actually went there thinking about international relations and minored in that area, but it was really economics and management, and so that's held me in good stead. The great thing about liberal arts is that it is really about teaching one how to analyze and think critically as opposed to a specific piece. And so it's been a part of, I think, helping fit the innovation officer, because it's not really a job that you'd normally – I think I'm the first chief innovation officer in the state. Hmm. And so, you know, we're sort of making it up as we go along and hopefully taking it full advantage.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about what you've made up thus far.
Okay.
About this position of city innovation officer. So as you understand it at the moment, and maybe give us a sense, too, of where it might go.
Well, so the mayor and I have a joke about he only asked me to come and do two things in town, right? So really it was wrapped around helping the city on the smart cities piece. And really trying to help differentiate a post-industrial community. You know, we have such a heavy emphasis on manufacturing that has really held us in good stead for so long. You go through all the history of Racine as being Invention City. And so this is beginning to pick back up on that moniker and really trying to tie in 21st century technology and innovation with our historical role as Invention City. The second part is around opportunity zones, and it seems like they wouldn't necessarily be tied. But opportunity zones are really about creating new economic opportunity for areas and communities that have not experienced that prosperity universally. Mm. And so it's really taking areas of the community that have not grown as quickly, have not seen as much investment. And now we're trying to twin that differentiator of innovation and technology with being able to access capital and financial investment in those areas.
I think it's fascinating. So innovation itself actually goes through a life cycle. I mean, you mentioned at one time, and last week we held a meeting downtown Racine for the announcement of the Tech Prize Initiative, and a lot of people were talking about Racine once being the capital of inventions mm-hmm. and new ideas spurred there. So you wonder, well, what happened to them? Does it just go away at some point? Or you have to purposely and intentionally engage that level of thought, and that's what this is so intriguing, because the idea of the Tech Prize is to bring that level of engagement back and try to capitalize on some of the ideas. And I know that even during the Smart City experience we had in September, Smart City Week there, you gave awards out to companies for their ideas.
Absolutely.
And try to build highlights around R&D.
Well, that's the interesting thing is that, you know, we had that label as Invention City, and I think sometimes it becomes so commonplace for us that we don't really put it in the forefront anymore. Mm-hmm. But we've been doing it all this time. So, for instance, one of the companies that we just created the Racine Innovation Awards as a part of our way of trying to make real what does the Smart City moniker mean for people. And so from our standpoint, thinking about the fact that it has continued, that arc of innovation is still very much alive. Cree Lighting starts in a garage in Racine and today is 950 employees, 700,000 square feet of one physical plant. But they have 1,900 patents internationally for this company that started in the garage. Mm. And so it continues. They actually were part of helping the city of Racine convert to LED lighting for the streetlights, which saved a tremendous amount of money for the city. But we were one of the first places in the nation to be able to make that transition, that transformation, because of that public-private partnership. And that's what we're really trying to accelerate, both on the financial investment side as well as on the technology side.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense. You know, and I think about it, so 110 years ago, Gateway was founded, 352 students. Today we serve over 23,000. So you're right. It just sort of happens. I mean, it's like we talked about in the opening part of the program. Time flies pretty fast, and you don't always recognize what's going on right in your own neighborhood.
Sometimes we become too good at
it
to recognize it.
Very good.
And so this is really our trying to be very intentional about raising these issues forward. And to build on that pride that we've all had about the fact that there were more patents per capita.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's not the metric we're using today, but what we really care about now is, can we make our community more economically competitive? Can we be more sustainable, more equitable? Can we create a more inclusive economic opportunity for everyone, which is what Gateway's been so successful at doing.
What's cool about it, too, if you drive around town, you can kind of see the names, but you got to place the connection, right? So Horlick High School, Horlick Malt Liquor, Malted Milk. So, Andis Corporation, Hamilton Beach, and, S.C. Johnson, of course, Case New Holland. And you go kind of down the list of all these names that are in our community, and that was really spurred upon this early 1900s innovation structure.
Mm-hmm. That's right. This is such a unique community because I've never been anywhere where the folks who were founders or were some of the most prominent community members, Racine celebrates innovators. I mean, that's really what the history of the community has been. And people still talk about folks like Horlick, mm-hmm. The Johnsons, et cetera, as if those individuals who started these businesses, J.I. Case,
right.
That people still speak as if they were still walking around. And so there's a real pride around that. Well, we wanted to start to raise up the names of people who are the today version of J.I. Case and Horlick, and et cetera. So.
Very good. For those of you just joining us, our guest is first of all, President Brian Albrecht from Gateway, who is paying his monthly visit to the program. And he is invited to our studios today, William Martin, who is Chief Innovation Officer for the City of Racine. So we should probably clarify right now what this designation of smart city is. So What did that mean when Racine was designated as a smart city? And what does it mean going forward from here?
Right. So smart city designation, we got involved with this in part because of the Foxconn effort. And so really looking at, here's a foreign company that comes halfway around the world to locate in Racine County. And again starts to open up windows of opportunity. So we began to think about, well, if we're going to bring this technology corridor in and we're going to have this $135 billion company in the area, what does that mean for our community and how can we then leverage that? So Smart Cities is a designation that's provided by the Smart Cities Council. It's an international body. They have a North American challenge, and we went through the readiness challenge. And I cannot thank enough Dr. Albrecht and Gateway Technical College for helping and being such a strong partner in that effort. We actually competed against or with 130 municipalities across North, it's really Mexico, United States, and Canada. And what we really were so proud of is that we had more public and private partnerships to explore and discuss, and folks like Dr. Albrecht, who came actually to the competition. When we, I got started on January 14th, of last year. By the 15th of February, we had applied to compete with this 130 communities across North America. By the 15th of March, we were a finalist, and we actually did our finalist interview on the campus, on the Racine campus along the lakefront. And when we open up the shot, so we actually were able to use the technology of Gateway Technical College and had even the IT staff help us out for this. So we had a very close shot of just the presenters for part of it. And then we widened the shot out to show all of the folks who were in the room and went around the room to talk about all the different organizations we had in the room. So Gateway and UW Parkside, the city itself, the county itself, and the county exec was there. We had the Economic Development Corporation and Foxconn and so many others in that room demonstrating that even though we're one of the smallest communities to ever compete, we actually had a larger and more diverse pool of public and private partners coming. Hmm. And in that process, what we're really excited about was the first city ever in Wisconsin to be so designated, but we're also the smallest community ever in North America to actually receive this award.
Wow.
98.5% of all municipalities in the United States are 100,000 in population or smaller. And so we made the argument that, there are only 10 cities in America that have 1 million in population or more. that once you've done that, you're kind of done. That the true test of time will be whether or not cities of our size and smaller can really leverage the technology, integrate, and create those efficiencies and help our communities to really compete economically in the future. And so they actually designated us, and that's why Smart Cities September that we did and some of the other things we've been doing with Gateway and others has been so important, because we're now not only trying to teach our own communities and the state, but we will begin to reach out to try to teach other communities around the country our size as part of our Smart Cities University.
It's a great commitment to be able to make. I mean, just like we talked about earlier in the 1900s, this idea of invention or innovation, and now it's just fun to be able to tell people around the country that we live in a smart city. So that's kind of a cool thing. But it really focuses back on the importance of the intentional investment and strategy that's being built out to capitalize on innovation.
And education is such a huge piece of this. And this is, I think, one of the what's really great, you asked about what does this matter? What's this really, what does it mean? It has given us a way to work with our higher education institutions in so much greater ways. So Gateway's been an incredible partner for the city of Racine forever. But it's given us now so much more opportunity to bring students in, to bring the professors in, to begin to talk about how we collaborate to make this the most economically competitive community and one that is sustainable and attractive to families. Mm-hmm. So many of your students come from Racine, and we think that this is a really incredible play to be able to make the argument on why they should stay. And build this community with the new skills that they've acquired through being a student here. Hmm.
So when a city is named a smart city, is that a designation that they have forever, or do they have to, in a sense, meet certain criteria perpetually in order to retain that designation?
Thankfully for me, it was one and done. We got the crown. We have won. So for us, it's really now just beginning to build on that. And this is where we're beginning to start raising capital and start looking at how do we attract technology and companies that are using technology, from entrepreneurs to remote workers to expansions of our existing base. How do we start to make sure that we're doing all we can as a city? Just as we had roads, rails, and ports, and important infrastructure for economic development in the last 100 years, the digital infrastructure that the city of Racine has put in place will play an immense role in its economic future. So we're trying to make sure that we are the best possible partner, both with our educational institutions and the business community, to really compete.
Let's talk about some specifics, beginning with this concept of the Opportunity Zone, which of course plays beautifully into what you were saying earlier about how certain portions of a city like Racine might be flourishing and other sections of the city, for whatever reason, usually a variety of reasons, are in a sense left behind. And Right. You want that to change. And this notion of opportunity zones is an exciting piece of that. Explain a little more about what's behind those intriguing words.
Great. So, you know, government has a funny way of timelines being important. So if you think about, the federal budget did not get passed by the October 1 deadline in 2017. It actually went for the longest ever period without a budget, right? So we ended up getting to the end of 2017, December of that year, just before Christmas. And in that bill, of those hundreds of pages, were a few pages about this concept of opportunity zones. And the basic idea was allowing people who had capital gains, who had some means, that instead of going to the government and asking the government to provide money for economic redevelopment, it would give an opportunity for those who had means through capital gains, that they could then, instead of paying the taxes immediately, they could invest in areas of economic opportunity. So each state was allowed to take about 25% of its economically distressed areas and declare them as these economic opportunity zones. And I'm really proud that one of the things that I got a chance to do in collaboration with Governor Walker, I helped to finalize the final report that identified these economic opportunity zones across the state. We have 120. Three of them are in Racine. Three of them are in Kenosha. And so one of the things that the mayor asked me to do was figure out how can we get an opportunity fund? How can we raise money to begin reinvesting in our area? And so we embarked on this effort and actually have created the first ever statewide multi-asset diversified opportunity fund. And it's the way to transact the monies that individuals with means may want to invest. They now can invest, and instead of it just being Racine, we're opening it up to the entire state's 120 zones so that all of Wisconsin's working together. Instead of competing against Kenosha or Milwaukee or Ashland, this is now bringing all these communities together to raise dollars so we create a portfolio that fuels the future of Wisconsin's economy together.
That's really exciting. I mean, when you think about how can you build a strategy around increasing the entire state's economic prosperity by collaborating within those communities, that's how you do it. And it's really great to know now, William, we've heard your history and your past work experience, how that all tied together and now put Racine actually in the position to capitalize on some really unique opportunities that are a part of a legislative process.
Well, what's really incredible is, and I give credit to the mayor for this, he had the imagination to say, how can we use that little piece of tax law to do something incredible here? And so, you know, we then opened it up. We just met with, we had representatives, elected and administrative, from 30 largest cities in Wisconsin. Hmm. They came to Wingspread. And we talked about the theme of collaboration and how we might be able to work together. And this was one of those examples. We asked how many of them had opportunity zones, and nearly every hand went up. But then when we asked how many of you have been able to raise the capital to be able to really now deploy that and begin to transform those areas of the community, none had been able to do it because they hadn't been able to figure out how to get an opportunity fund. Hmm. Now we have a vehicle, and we just met with the mayors again in Appleton, hosted the same event. We're able to now show them, here's the vehicle. I'll give you one example. We had a gentleman who last year had over $1 million in capital gains, and he was specifically looking for a way to be able to discount his taxes, and he wanted to invest in opportunity zones. But there was not a vehicle for doing that in Wisconsin yet as a multi-asset portfolio. So his money, that $1 million, over $1 million, went to the East Coast. Now, I love all of America, and all of our 50 states are wonderful. But think about what would $1 million of additional private investment do in partnership with cities. And so that's what we're passionate about now, is making sure we create new sectors of the economy for the areas that that have not done as well, but then also making sure we raise – Wisconsin's a wealthy community, a wealthy state. And so we want to make sure that we reinvest and fuel our future economy.
Sure. And I would guess for investors, having a broader portfolio is very valuable. So you may have an investor in the northern part of the state that really wants something in the southern part of the state. Now this collaborative effort or this network that you've been able to establish allows that to happen on an easier basis.
We've announced already $200 million worth of new developments on the lakefront in Racine. And so things like a full-service hotel that will now be twinned with a convention center. That's a really exciting piece to put something like that on Lake Michigan. People are going to want to be able to invest in that, and this gives them that opportunity. Projects like we're hearing from Madison, La Crosse, Eau Claire, but also all these rural communities that have zones, like Prairie du Chien's been in contact with us. The city of Berlin has talked to us. We're hearing from folks around the state that are really excited, and Sheboygan has already pulled together investors and developers and asked us to already present there as well. The city of Watertown had us over to talk with them. So you start to see all these mayors and communities, instead of competing against each other, we're all collaborating to make sure we're building Wisconsin.
Well, you have some great assets there, right? So you've got the smart city designation, so innovation, companies looking at technology infrastructure, 5G and alike, higher education on the same page with their Higher Education Regional Alliance and Parkside and Carthage and Gateway, what we're doing to help build a talent workforce to address that. The opportunity zone, so you can make investments, capital investments in the area. The amenities of the lakefront itself, the gorgeous environmental assets that we have here. And then, of course, historical legacy companies that already have that baseline infrastructure around innovation and are looking to not only continue to grow, but to bring new opportunities through new product lines in our region.
Well, think about, you know, we talked about companies like Cree and Johnson, et cetera, that, you know, started in a garage. Right. Well, think about, you know, how do we begin to now create another wave of that kind of building? So we want to take our smart cities piece and we really want to look at, like, for instance, we have 3,000 strand miles of fiber optic network. We're one of the only cities that owns we are 15 square miles. We've got 3,000 strand miles of fiber. And this fiber allows us to move data at light speed. You begin to think about how can we use what the city's network is to help private sector entrepreneurs, startups. We want to make sure our students that come through Gateway, UW Parkside, Madison, Carthage, et cetera, all have a reason to want to come and be a part of reinventing Racine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And this excitement about Racine and the notion of rebuilding Racine, obviously a lot of this has to do with Foxconn coming on the scene and their interest in locating this new facility here. But I suspect that's not the only thing going on here. What else about this moment makes this the time to be doing this and thinking about this?
There's an inquisitiveness about Racine. And so having someone else take a look at us, I think, has sparked us thinking differently about ourselves and about where we are in this moment. And so we're beginning to ask questions, not just sort of doing the same old thing and tweaking that, but really starting to ask fundamental questions like, what is our competitive advantage and how did we get to become one of the, you know, we're the fifth largest city in the state. How'd that happen? And, you know, what led up to this? Well, how can we then extend that arc of innovation and begin to really excite people? And so having partners that can help us make sure the human talent is ready for opportunity, right? Abraham Lincoln spoke about studying and preparing, that he would be ready when opportunity came. This is precisely that at every level. And so, you know, Foxconn was one thing, but really it's just time. You know, we're now in a new century and getting our people ready for it.
Yeah, I remember when I first moved to this area, right, 16 years ago already, Greg, but there was a lot of talk about, oh, it's in a unique place in Wisconsin. It's between Milwaukee and Chicago. You're in the corridor, right? But the frustrating part was that everybody left to go to Milwaukee or Chicago. You left the corridor, and it just became a pass-through. That's changed dramatically, and all you have to do is drive along the interstate, and you see it. This is convergence of the bigger cities of Milwaukee and Chicago and how that infrastructure has been supported with economic development, new corporate headquarters, distribution. I mean, you just go up and down, you see the Foxconn, Amazon, Uline, Haribo, and it just keeps building out new headquarters for, you know, InSinkErator. And so I think you're right. Timing is perfect. The infrastructure that's being built out is going to allow continued growth. And now strategically looking at legislative and policies by the mayor and others to build the capacity for investment, that's what's going to continue to change and make this a viable region.
Yeah. The city owns some of the last land along Lake Michigan that can be significantly developed. And so, you know, the $200 million worth of new developments, those are all going on city-owned parcels that are being redeveloped. So we're really excited about what that can mean for the next 5, 10, 20 years. Mm.
For those of you just joining us, this is Brian Albrecht's first morning show visit of 2020. And with us is William Martin, who is Chief Innovation Officer for the city of Racine. Mr. Martin, another exciting announcement made recently was about the development of a community health center in Racine, particularly for the sake of our many listeners who are not in Racine. Explain some of the basics of what this is going to be and then its significance.
Right. So as I think Dr. Albrecht mentioned, you know, Racine, the city of Racine really hugs Lake Michigan. And the growth that has happened in some of the other areas has hugged more the interstate. And so even though it's only 9 miles different, what's happened now is a number of medical centers are really looking to site somewhere in between the two so that it serves the greatest number. So while that happens, we also want to pay attention to the health of our city residents. And so this is, again, a really incredible public-private partnership where hospital systems, healthcare systems are stepping up with the city and others to make sure that we have a community health center that will provide additional access at an affordable price for our community. You know, health is so important. You can't come to school, whether you're a K-12 student or you're an adult coming to Gateway. If you're not physically well, you can't take full advantage. Well, we want to make sure when you get done and you've got that degree and you're leaving here, that 1,023, we want them all to live in the city of Racine. When you're done and you're getting that degree or as you're studying, we want you to make sure that your health is as good as it can possibly be. And having that community health center available allows our workforce to be ready and able to fully participate.
Well, I think it points to what you discussed earlier around the timing is right. I mean, for years, Racine partnered with Kenosha. Kenosha has a community health center. And so services were provided in Racine, but now we're growing fast enough where we need our own point of contact and services. And prior to Kenosha, Racine worked with the city of Beloit. They had a federally designated community health center. So those are all still operating. There's Milwaukee, you know, Sheboygan. Communities have these resources available. This is time now for Racine to develop their own and to create, as you mentioned, an opportunity for not only to focus on wellness and health, but to grow the assets of healthcare in our region. And Gateway is a strong partner in this this concept because we want to use it for training programs for our students, plus awareness programs for parents and families so that when kids make their choices to go on to school, they're thinking about healthcare careers, but they're also doing it in a way that they're receiving the services as a benefit.
Right. Yeah. And we want all those students mindful that we're sitting in a building that has is really the center of so much of your health or life sciences and health care studies.
Exactly.
Here. So we want to make sure all the young people who are coming through here really see Racine as an attractive option for them.
Hmm. This matter of health care, adequate health care for a wide swath of the population also brings to mind the fact that when there are these exciting possibilities for development, it affects other things, other aspects of the city and the county, for that matter. And so what are some of the most important ways in which Racine has been working and needs to continue to work to be ready for this and to be ready for all of the changes that are going to be necessary to make all this happen and to sustain it?
Okay. So I think that Racine realizes it's not an island, right? It's part of both the corridor and a greater world. We have a series of dynamics that also become both opportunities and challenges for us. For instance, you know, the construction trades skew toward the 50s today. So demographically, we've got a lot more individuals who are in that family-supporting sector that are skewing closer to retirement than they are beginning of their career. Mm. We have this huge opportunity, and this is one of the things that we've been able to do together with Gateway. While I was at the state, and the mayor and city council of Racine took this unprecedented opportunity to allocate $500,000 for training individuals for construction trades. The state met them, and in 5 days, we were able to match that and in partnership with Gateway to do that. Well, that's one place where we're getting people ready for those construction jobs because we've got so much to build, and there's so much pressure on that field. And yet now we can get people who may have been underemployed a quality career that will sustain them and their families. The healthcare piece that we just talked about in creating that opportunity. Now beginning to think about the 200 acres of land the city owns and how can we master plan that to be ready for the next generation in our community. We're starting to think about housing and how can we begin to – we've got one of the oldest housing stocks in the nation as a state of Wisconsin. And so it's now time to begin thinking about how do we refresh that housing stock so that we are attractive for all those businesses to start bringing folks of every economic strata to live in our community. It's allowing us to start rethinking and reimagining Racine and start really inviting people into our community. We had last year for Smart City September, 500 people participated, many of them not from Racine, who had been here for the first time. Companies like Esri, which is the leader in GIS systems and technology. We had folks here from Google and companies like Fire, and there are just so many different companies that came from around the country, from California to Virginia, to participate. And we want to see them start locating in our community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it reminds me that you really can't talk about any single element individually. It's all connected. It's like this web, right? So opportunity zones, capital investment, healthcare, workforce training, construction trades, housing stock, transportation and access and logistics. So the fabric of the community is really what we're talking about. How do we support what we currently have, but then look to the future to make sure that it's ready for continued growth opportunities?
Right. Technology has saved so much money in so many other sectors. It's time for us to look at the public sector and figure out how can we actually save money and still provide a quality service to our community. And that's what it's allowing us to do.
Right. I wonder if you could just speak for a moment about kind of the matter of green.
Green.
And the fact that while on the other hand, on the one hand, it's incredibly exciting to think about all of this technology and to think about all of this development. And particularly, you know, the long list of what Brian Albrecht just, you know, listed off. But there is, of course, a potential danger there, and one of them is that we begin to lose some of what makes this part of the state so beautiful, and something that I should think means a lot to a lot of people in the community.
Right, including the mayor.
Right, very much so. So how much does that figure into these conversations, and how careful do we have to be about folding that particular concern into these other matters?
There are two things that the mayor raises constantly about smart cities. The intentionality of ensuring that we are being sustainable and that what we're choosing to do is being sustainable, and that also we're choosing to be equitable. Left to its own devices, technology, like any other differentiator, if we're not intentional about making sure that people of all social economic backgrounds are included, it will actually increase the divide between peoples. And so we want to be very intentional about making sure that everyone has a place in Racine and everyone can participate. So the new developments we just talked about, we just announced a hotel that will be one of the most sustainable hotels in the nation, looking at new technologies. We're also talking with folks around from Johnson Controls to smart buildings around thinking, how do we make our buildings much more energy efficient? But then how do we start to use the environment? So more and more we're talking about, even with the full service hotels, using the air rights for people to be able to enjoy the natural resources. So imagine being able to sit on a top. We're declaring those sort of the rooftop as a public park. So that rooftop is both sustainable, but it's also allowing our community to take advantage of those resources. It's thinking about, you know, some of the heavy industry that we've previously had also contaminated some of our land. We've been very assiduous about helping clean that up so that we can enjoy those natural resources as well and start rebuilding for our community. But you'll see, for instance, we now have reclaimed 25 acres of land along the Root River, that we will now be able to redevelop and be very intentional about how that's used and the kinds of technologies we're using to make sure it's sustainable.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the mayor's made it real clear that one of the reasons why there's so much interest in Racine is because of the natural beauty of being on the lakefront and the Root River and all of the amenities that have been there for so many years, and the intentional investment in the cleanup of it and making sure that it's being developed in a way that's going to be responsible to the environment as well as to the community's public access. Things like public transportation and the investment now in hybrid vehicles and the new buses that are in town and those kinds of intentional decisions and really trying to create a broader infrastructure so that we can take advantage of reducing the amount of vehicles on the roads and the buildings that are being established having standards set in place that they must be in energy efficient buildings and really helping to create that dynamic, or maybe it's an expectation that we create for development.
And it's good for the economy. It's good for the companies. Obviously, if you're saving money, you can put it to better use. We're doing this very same thing right now. 45 buildings the city of Racine owns, 750,000 square feet. We're actually doing a sustainability study right now with a broad-based task force that's looking at these issues. And my colleague, who is a sustainability coordinator for the city, she and I work hand in hand as we think about both how we're deploying new technology and how we're making sure that we're intentional on the sustainability piece.
Very good. We are almost out of time in just a minute or so. Do you have any goals for the Smart City Initiative that you hope will come?
Yes, come invest in Racine. That is the number one. One of our goals is to make sure that we deepen our relationship with Gateway, and I know we've already got some things that are in the hopper that we'll be very excited to announce this year. But most importantly, what we want to do is to make sure to build on the beginnings from last year, create a new tech sector, create a new innovation district, and begin building our brand.
Very good. If people want more information about the Smart Cities initiatives or opportunity zones and so on, what's the best place for them to look?
Well, they can contact the mayor's office, Mayor Corey Mason, City of Racine. They can definitely do that. We also have on a YouTube channel for the City of Racine all of the Smart City September's activities that we had. And so not only did we make sure that we actually held that month worth of events, but we actually curated them to make sure that that was available. And then we also have a 12-page supplement that features Gateway as well that will educate people on a lot of these topics too.
Very good.
Fantastic. Yeah.
All exciting. All exciting. William Martin is Chief Innovation Officer for the City of Racine. It's been great to meet you today and to hear about all of the exciting things that are going on in Racine. It makes me very proud that I live there. And we appreciate you being here and look forward to maybe future visits because none of this is going away. The excitement will certainly continue from here.
So thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. And Brian Albrecht, of course, the president of Gateway Technical College. We're so grateful for your interest in the morning show and glad that we have begun 2020 in such exciting fashion. Look forward to seeing you next month.
Thank you very much, Greg.
I'm Gregory Bird. Tomorrow on the morning show, in actually a change from what was previously announced, I'm going to be speaking with Dr. James Ripley, who is the director of instrumental activities at Carthage, and three of the members of his wind orchestra. They are just back from a very exciting trip to Japan, and they have their homecoming concert coming up on Sunday afternoon. We'll be talking to them on Friday and finding out about some of the fun things that they did in the beautiful nation of Japan. On Monday, we're going to spend part of the program sharing with you a interview that takes us way, way back, all the way back to 1990. That was the year that the Kenosha Symphony celebrated its 50th anniversary. And one of the things they did that season was bring to the stage of Reuther High School Auditorium the best French horn player in the world, Barry Tuckwell. He was an artist associated at the time with LeBlanc Corporation, located here in Kenosha. That's how the Kenosha Symphony was able to share the stage with someone so illustrious. And when he came to Kenosha for that concert, he also came to our studios, our old studios, to be part of the morning show. And that was one of the first morning show interviews I ever recorded, again, way back in 1990. Not all of it survives, but we will share with you the portion that does and a couple of samples of his beautiful playing. We're doing so because Barry Tuckwell just passed away within the last week at the age of 88. So that's something very special coming up on Monday's morning show. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and